नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8, entitled The Character of Bharat Maharaj. Verse number 27. Tadanim api parshavartinam atmajam ivanishochandam abhivikshamano mrga eva bhiniveshitamano visrjyaloga imam सह मृगेण कलेवरम मृतम अनु न मृद जन्मानुस्मृत इता इतरवन मृगशरीरम अवापा वेट टू अ ट्रांसलेशन तदानीम एट दैट टाइम अपि इंडीड पार्श्ववर्तिनम बाय द साइड ऑफ हिज डेथ बेड Atmajam, his own son, Iva, like, Anishochantam, lamenting, Abhivikshamanaha, seeing, Mrige, in the deer, Eva, certainly, Abhiniveshitamanaha, His mind was absorbed. Visrijya, giving up. Lokam, world. Imam, this. Saha, with. Mrigena, the deer. Kalevaram, his body. Mrutam, died. Anu, thereafter. Na, not. Mrita, destroyed. Janma anusmritihi, remembrance of the incident before his death. Itaravat, like others. Mruga shariram, the body of a deer. Avapa, goat. At the time of death, the king saw that the deer was sitting by his side, exactly like his own son, and was lamenting his death. Actually, the mind of the king was absorbed in the body of the deer, and consequently, like those bereft of Krishna consciousness, he left the world, the deer, and his material body, and acquired the body of a deer. However, there was one advantage. Although he lost his human body and received the body of a deer, he did not forget the incidents of his past life. Purport by His Divine Grace Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. There was a difference between Bharat Maharaj's acquiring a deer body and others acquiring different bodies according to their mental condition at the time of death. After death, others forget everything that has happened in their past lives. But Bharat Maharaj did not forget according to Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam vapismaran bhavam tyajityande kalevaram tam tam evedi kaunteya sadadat bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. Bhagavad Gita 8.6. After quitting his body, a person gets another body according to his mental condition at the time of death. At death, a person always thinks of the subject matter in which he has been engrossed during his life. According to this law, because Bharat Maharaj was always thinking of the deer and forgetting his worship of the Supreme Lord, he acquired the body of a deer. However, due to his having been elevated to the topmost platform of devotional service, he did not forget the incidents of his past life. This special benediction saved him from further deterioration. Due to his past activities in devotional service, he became determined to finish his devotional service even in the body of a deer. It is therefore said in this verse, Mrutam, although he had died, Anu afterwards, Na Mrutha Janmasmrutir Itta Itaravat. He did not forget the incidents of his past life as others forget them. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Karmani Dahati Kintu Cha Bhakti Bhajam, 554. It is proved herein that due to the grace of the Lord, a devotee is never vanquished. Due to his willful neglect of devotional service, a devotee may be punished for a short time, but he again revives his devotional service and returns home back to God. Hare Krishna. I will read two more verses because there is a very connecting point here to next two verses in the purport. Tatravi, this is verse 28. Tatravi hava atmano mrgatva karanam bhagavat aradhana samihanu bhavena anusmritya bhrisham anudapyamana aha. Although in the body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj, due to his rigid devotional service in his past life, could understand the cause of his birth in the body. Considering his past and present life, he constantly repented his activities, speaking in the following way. This is a special concession for a devotee. Even if he attains a body that is non-human, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he advances further in devotional service, whether by remembering his past life or by natural cause. It is not easy for a common man to remember the activities of his past life, but Bharat Maharaj could remember his past activities due to his great sacrifices and engagement in devotional service. Verse 29. Aho kashtam brashtoham atmavatam anipathat yat vimukta samasta sangasya vivikta punyaranya charanasyatmavata atmani sarvesham atmanam bhagavati vasudeve tat anishravana manana sankirtana aradhana anusmaranabhiyogena anishunya sagala yamena kalena samaveshita samahitam kasinyena manasastat punar mama buddhas charana mruga sutam anu Pari Shushruva. In the body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj began to lament. What misfortune! I have fallen from the path of the self-realized. I gave up my real son, wife and home to advance in future life, and I took shelter in a solitary holy place in the forest. I became self-controlled and self-realized, and I engaged constantly in devotional service, hearing, thinking, chanting, worshipping and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudev. I was successful in my attempt, so much so that my mind was always absorbed in devotional service. However, due to my personal foolishness, my mind again became attached, this time to a deer. Now I have obtained the body of a deer and have fallen far from my devotional practices. Purport. Due to his stringent execution of devotional service, Maharaj Bharat could remember the activities of his past life and how he was raised to the spiritual platform. Due to his foolishness, he became attached to an insignificant deer and thus fell down and had to accept the body of a deer. This is significant for every devotee. If he misuses our position and think that we are fully engaged in devotional service and can do whatever we like, we had to suffer like Bharat Maharaj and be condemned to accept the type of body that impairs our devotional service. Only a human form is able to execute devotional service. But if we voluntarily give this up for sense gratification, we certainly have to be punished. This punishment is not exactly like that endured by an ordinary materialistic person. By the grace of the Supreme Lord, a devotee is punished in such a way that his eagerness to attain the lotus feet of the Lord Vasudeva is increased. By this intense desire, he returns home in the next lifetime. Devotional service is very completely described here. Tat anusmarana manana sankirtana aradhana anusmarana abhiyogena. The constant hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord is recommended in Bhagavad Gita. Satatam kirtento mam yadantascha dhishavartaha. Those who have taken to Krishna consciousness should be very careful that not a single moment is wasted and that not a single moment is spent without chanting and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His activities. By His own actions, by the actions of His devotees, Krishna teaches us how to become cautious in devotional service. Through the medium of Bharat Maharaj, Krishna teaches us that we must be careful in the discharge of devotional service. If we want to keep our minds completely fixed without deviation, we must engage them in devotional service full time. As far as the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are concerned, they have sacrificed everything to push on this Krishna Consciousness movement. Yet they must take a lesson from the life of Bharat Maharaj to be very cautious and know to see that not a single moment is wasted in frivolous talk, sleep or voracious eating. Eating is not prohibited, but if we eat voraciously, we shall certainly sleep more than required. Sense gratification ensure and we may be degraded to a lower life form. In that way, our spiritual progress may be checked at least for the time being. The best course is to take the advice of Srila Rupa Goswami, Avyartha Kalatum. We should see that every moment of our lives is utilized for the rendering of devotional service and nothing else. This is a secure position for one wanting to return home back to Godhead. So, very important purpose, and they are very well connected, so that I read three verses together. Om Jnanatimirantasya Jnananjanaslakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamanyam Dati Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपीकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छगल्पद्रुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे भूतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतैर्महाद्भुतै षोडश षोडशात्मक सोरङ्कृषीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे. हरे कृष्ण. These three verses and purports are so important in our practice of Krishna consciousness, because essentially this pastime is going to teach us two things. One, how careful we must be in the discharge of devotional service, and second, the protection of the Lord. How the Supreme Lord protects even if we are negligent and even if we may fall down from the path of devotional service, still the Lord protects. So in that way, we can see how we had to position ourselves in devotion service currently, because this is not a very favorable time in one sense for devotion service, because it's a world of distractions externally and internally. Hi upadrutaha, the mind is indeed disturbed all the time. So that is a qualification. Manda sumanda madayo. We are manda. We are not so spiritually intelligent. We are not so fortunate. And even if you want to practice Krishna consciousness, we can be misdirected very easily. And so our minds are very, very disturbed. Now this world has a lot of life coaches, and there are so many talks about lifestyle management. However, that lifestyle which we long for, which is beneficial, is given here in this purport. The essential principles of that lifestyle management is given here based on devotional service. So this is what we have to aim at. If you don't, there can be mishaps. And Bharat Maharaj is teaching from his own example that we don't need to go through similar experiences as him. It is very evident here. The purport is so powerful, and it's given, I'll read from the purport. If we misuse our position and think that we are fully engaged in devotional service and can do whatever we like, we have to suffer like Bharat Maharaj and be condemned to accept the type of body that impairs our devotional service. So this is the problem, this is the danger that we had to face, that we cannot think ourselves that we are fixed in devotional service and so we can do whatever we want to do. Isn't it so critical? Many times we think, I am a devotee, I can do whatever I want. This is indeed the trick of Maya. I am a devotee, so I don't need to chant properly. Mind can even tell that. Somehow or other, go through 16 rounds or whatever rounds you are chanting. Yes. Somehow or other, it is done. It's alright. That negligence is accepted because I have a label as a devotee. Or I don't need to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Or I don't need to do service to Krishna, because the whole my life is a service. So why do I have to do any service in particular? My existence is a devotional service, so why do I have to really endeavor to do some devotional service? In that way, we can be tricked again and again while practicing or while intending to practice devotional service. So we had to be quite careful. And we had to be very careful in controlling our senses and the mind. So in this verse, verse 27, talking about the power of the mind. Yam yam vah visvaran bhavam tejatyante kalevaram. Tam tam evedi kaunteya sada tat bhava bhavitaha. See the power of the mind. The mind is so potent and powerful that it can take us from human body to any other species, practically speaking. It has a potency to take us to any species, even such a degraded species. Or it can take us all the way to Goloka Vrindavan, which is far, far away from here. See the potency of the mind. It can take us anywhere. So it is not just applicable at the end of the life. Even now, our mind can take us anywhere. Maybe we are practicing devotional service, but mind can play up and we may be ending up anywhere in this world. That is the power of the mind. We may be now in the association of the devotees and we are thinking we are having a good time, we are safe. But if we don't control our mind, it can take us away from the association of the devotees. We may be thinking, I am chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, I am practicing devotional service. If we are not careful about the mind, the whole activity may give very minimal result because the mind is elsewhere. See the potency of the mind. And so, it is recommended or it is mandatory that we endeavor to control our mind and the senses. Why do we have to control our mind and the senses? Is there any benefit? Yes, indeed, there are benefits for controlling the mind and the senses. At the same time, when we control our mind and the senses, it becomes easier if we have this point in the back of our mind or in our consciousness. What is that? I am doing this. I am controlling my mind or senses for what? For Krishna. To please Krishna. I am working on my relationship with Krishna. So for that sake, I am controlling my mind and senses. So be objective when it comes to controlling our mind and the senses. It is for Krishna, it is for Prabhupada, it is for my Guru. So please see the relationship when it comes to controlling our mind and the senses. If it is wide open, just I have to control my senses, just I have to control my mind, that in itself is not complete. It is very open-ended. So we may think, you know, might as well know to do it. But we place ourselves an objective. Look, this is going to please Krishna. And what kind of reciprocation Krishna is going to do? Krishna will reciprocate in three times, I can say. One, he will reciprocate immediately. Okay, we may wonder, is Krishna going to reciprocate any time in the future? No, Krishna is going to reciprocate us immediately. Second, he is going to reciprocate us in a prolonged fashion. So there is an immediate reciprocation, there is a prolonged reciprocation, and there is this ultimate reciprocation from Krishna. So if you are in a relationship, we go through sacrifices, isn't it? As a son, one will go through sacrifices. As a daughter, one may go through sacrifices. As a husband, one may go through sacrifices. As a wife, one may go through sacrifices. Isn't it true? We all have gone through sacrifices if we had to maintain any relationships. Yes or no? Otherwise, there is no question of relationship without sacrifice. Everywhere. Even if you want to learn something, we sacrifice. So, sacrifice is an essential principle if you want to maintain any relationships, and we have practical realization about it. If you want to maintain friendship, we sacrifice for the other person. So given that, please consider that we need that reciprocation from Krishna, and so I am ready to sacrifice. How we sacrifice? We sacrifice by controlling our mind and the senses. Now, let's consider some examples of those kind of sacrifices. Simple. I may feel like eating outside, not eating prasada. Look, I'm not going to eat this outside food, even though it is tempting, because it is going to please Krishna. And go through that experiment of restraining oneself to please Krishna. You can see the immediate reciprocation of Krishna. Simple, very simple thing. Many times, for young men, wants to use the eyes to see wrong things which are not very beneficial. Please try to control that, the sense of vision. See how Krishna reciprocates. Krishna will give immediate taste for him. If one is browsing internet, one may be tempted to press the wrong links. Try to stop that. Try to restrain. You see how Krishna reciprocates. So there is an immediate reciprocation of Krishna, even though we do this small things to please Krishna. It's not doing a big project. But please try to understand that the small things are causing our fall down. It's not the big things. See here, for Bharat Maharaj, it was a small thing. Such an innocent thing. Such a kind-hearted person. Such a compassionate action, very innocent, but such a small thing caused a big fall down. From the position of bhava bhakti, Now, just like a materialist, as it is mentioned here, he was simply thinking about the deer and left the body and had to attain the body of a deer. Think about that. A small thing led to a big thing. This is the action of the Maya, in like a pin, out like a plow. What is Maya? In like a pin, out like a plow. So just one thought is enough, sufficient to create a havoc. It is sufficient to uproot our fledgling devotional service, devotional creeper. That's all. As simple as that. So we have to learn ourselves to restrain our senses and mind from indulgences of various kinds, starting from very small things, and see how Krishna reciprocates immediately. That's why it is mentioned, Tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam shuddhye yasmat brahma saukhyam tu anantam. So it is mentioned that tapo divyam, so this tapa, this austerity is divyam. It is transcendental. It is transcendental and that can give brahma saukhyam. It can give eternal happiness. But we had experience that on a day-to-day basis. That is the opportunity that we have to taste Krishna on a daily basis on this simple process of negation of controlling our senses and mind. Of course, engagement we can discuss, but negation in itself is useful. And then it comes to the point of engagement. It's mentioned another point, the tendency to criticize others, to prajalpa, it's mentioned in the purport 29, right? Try to stop that activity. When the mind wants to talk nonsense about others, those who are devotees especially, just stop that activity. And by talking like that, we are not going to gain anything. It is just a frivolous talk. We are not going to get anything. So stop that activity. Stop thinking ill about others. So try small steps towards that, and we can see immediate reciprocation of Krishna. And if you continue that for, try for 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 1 year, try to do that, you can see that there is substantial advancement in devotional service. So stopping sense gratification is so important. So that is immediate reciprocation and prolonged reciprocation. I remember the story of Giriraj Maharaj. He was one of the key persons involved in the Juhu pastime of Srila Prabhupada, isn't it? He was the key person, Prabhupada was instructing Giriraj Maharaj, you know, you do this, you do that, right? And Giriraj Maharaj was having a tough time to deal with shrewd and pretty much vicious businessmen who were trying to take over the land and trying to cheat Srila Prabhupada and devotees. One time, this person who was fighting against Srila Prabhupada, he tried to allure Giriraj Maharaj by sending a prostitute. Can you think about it? Such a serious thing, and he was a brahmachari and he tried to send a prostitute to make him fall down. And Giriraj Maharaj says that in her presence, he was thinking, look, I lost everything. I lost my brahmacharya. He was thinking, I lost my brahmacharya. I lost my devotional service. Soon I'll be nowhere. I'll be left with nothing. I'll be just out of devotees. I'll be out of this devotional service. I'll be bereft of everything. The mind started projecting one after another. He was really going through that traumatic experience. Look, I'm going to lose everything. That is the power of temptation. Isn't it? It's the power of temptation. Just one step after another, one is being captured. So he was feeling, I'm just losing it. At that point, as a savior, one thought came to his mind. What was that thought? What would Prabhupada think? If he hear about this, what will Prabhupada think? And when he started thinking about that, then he got the power, he got the energy. Because he loved Prabhupada so much, he started thinking, what can I do So I shouldn't fall for this. Had to keep myself in check. And he survived. So he explains, because he had love for Prabhupada, he was saved. So just an example. Similarly, we had to think, what will our Guru Maharaj think? What will Prabhupada think? What will Krishna think? Because we have made so much of sacrifices to come to this stage of devotional service, isn't it? Gone through many years of chanting, even many people were upset about us. We had to give up some relationships. Maybe many devotees have shown so much of love and care for us. They have helped us so much. They have given us so much of time, so much of advice. And after going through all this, why should I leave them? Why should I fall for something which is very frivolous and useless, which is going to give me pain anyway? So it is mentioned that one has to be very careful and one has to be so connected to devotees, Guru, Krishna, so that if we have a problem, we are thinking, you know, at least what would devotees think? It's a very, very, very good checkpoint, a very good boundary, you know, that help us. Okay, I don't want to cross that boundary. So this is very important. This is the importance of connection to devotees. So the mind is so powerful, it can trick, it can take us anywhere. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Emana Durmati, right? Durmati. This wicked mind has taken us from one lifetime to another lifetime, one species to another species. And we can see, even as devotees, we may practice Krishna consciousness for some time seriously, and then we are thrown somewhere else, and we are not serious. That's how the circumstances are. So we have to be so careful in the discharge of devotional service. And if we knowingly give up devotional service or knowingly drink poison of sense gratification, there is punishment from Krishna. So that is another very important point. All the opportunities are given, and still, if you don't follow it properly, then there is punishment from Krishna. Why? Because he loves us. Why punishment? Is it because someone hates you? No, because love. Because of love. That's why Krishna loves us so much. It's mentioned when Gopakumar, in his progressive journey through material planets and through different spiritual planets, at one point he reached Vaikuntha Loka. Can you think about going to Vaikuntha Loka? And who is there in Vaikuntha Loka? Do you know who is in Vaikuntha? Who? No idea who is in Vaikuntha? You know, Srihari.
Lord Vishnu.
Lord Vishnu, that's right. Lord Vishnu. Isn't it? Lord Vishnu is in Vaikuntha. That's Narayan. How many hands he has got? Four hands. What are there in his hands?
Conch, lotus, disc and cloak.
Okay. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. So he has everything. But now Gopakumar, just a young boy, he has crossed over this material world and the coverings, and ultimately he has gone through different planets. First he reached, after the material planets and different experiences, he reached Vaikuntha. And this is the time Narayan is seeing Gopakumar face to face. For the first time, a momentous experience, isn't it? Being in the material world for such a long time, and now seeing Narayan face to face for the first time, right? You know, there are many love stories where, you know, lovers meet after maybe a few decades, and you know, the sweet reciprocation. In the same way, this is an eternal story, you know, the eternal love story, and it is vast in terms of space and time. And not just millions of lifetimes, you know, yeah, millions of lifetimes, and if you consider the space, it is so vast, material world and the spiritual world. So if you consider both time and space, they were separated for infinite time and space. And now, they are meeting for the first time. So, Lord Narayan tells Gopakumar, I was waiting for you, lifetime after lifetime. Think about this. And when the Lord speaks something, he means it. It's not just a poetry, you know, it's not just poetry or fancy words. He means, I was waiting for you so many lifetimes. If you give a current example, first lifetime I saw you coming somehow or other in touch with the devotees. I saw you dancing in Harana and just disappearing. I thought that lifetime, maybe you'll come in the association of the devotees and you'll perfect and come back to me. That didn't happen. I was waiting patiently. Next lifetime I saw, you saw the devotees and you accept a small book. So I thought you'll read that book and you'll come back to me. But it didn't happen. Next lifetime I saw that you read the book, you went for some programs, and devotees were also thinking, you know, he's going to come back next week. But that didn't happen. It happens, right, you know, this boy is coming, now next week also he will come. But never seen again. So it happened. Then we were thinking, look, he went for the program next lifetime. He was in the association of the devotees and the Lord was thinking, this time he's going to get initiated. He's going to take that major step. That also didn't happen. Before that he blooped. He got attracted to someone and went somewhere else. Then next lifetime, somehow that he got initiated. And I was thinking, okay, I'll come back, got initiated. But on the way, messed up there also. See? So in this way, the Lord, he didn't explain the same way. He was telling, one lifetime I was thinking you will come, next lifetime also I was waiting you will come, but didn't happen. So the Lord is waiting for each and every one of us. So end of the day, he was telling, finally, O Gopakumar, you made it. You're all Gopakumars, okay? So he had to go back to Krishna. So the Lord is telling, I was waiting. So finally you made it. So this is the point. So he was more eager to receive us than Gopakumar himself or a devotee himself. That is the love of the Lord. And that's why, because he has so much of affection for us, he's making the arrangement. If you are in Melbourne, we have all facilities for spiritual advancement. No one can deny that. Isn't it? More than anywhere else. We have everything. Plenty of service. The main thing to keep us in track is service. We have plenty of service. And if you don't have enough service, please ask. There are ample of opportunities. Right? We have plenty of service. We have such a wonderful devotee association. Inside the temple, there is nice association. You go to the congregation, there is nice association of the devotees. For kids, there is nice association of the devotees. Isn't it? Prasadam. Is there any scarcity? No, we are Prasadam temple. We specialize in Prasadam. So, what is lacking? If something is lacking, it is our sincerity or our desire. That's it. And that's why it is mentioned. Just be in this association of the devotees and make progress. And Krishna wants that. And if you don't, the consequences are mentioned in this verse. The Lord is going to punish us out of love. He's going to punish us, but how is he going to punish us? This punishment is not exactly like that endured by an ordinary materialistic person. By the grace of the Supreme Lord, a devotee is punished in such a way that his eagerness to attain the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva is increased. So his punishment is a special punishment, that a devotee's desire to go back to the Lord is increased. So it is mentioned. The same point is mentioned in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 5th chapter, 19th verse. Savajana jadu kathanjana vrajet mukunda sevyanyavadanga samsmriti smaran mukundankh bagohanam puna vighadu michenarasa graho janaha. It's mentioned that a person who has come to Krishna consciousness and has performed some devotional activities, he is a rasagraha. Indeed, he is a rasagraha. He has tasted it. Isn't it? Anyone, even they come in touch with the devotees even once, they have some taste for Krishna consciousness. Even for us, we've been practicing Krishna consciousness for some time, so we have some taste for Krishna consciousness. We have experienced taste somewhere, at least. Somewhere, at least in prasada. In kirtan, in japa, in association, in dancing, in some other practical devotional service, in cooking. somewhere we have experienced devotional service taste. And so it is said, it's rasagraha, we have tasted. And then even if such a devotee somehow or other falls down from devotional service, he certainly does not undergo material existence like other karmi people. So that's the worst saying. He will not go through the same experience. Because why? Smaran Mukuntam Kri Bhaguhanam Puna. Because he can remember that taste that he had experienced. I was hearing from one boy who was in Gurukul, he was practicing Krishna consciousness, and later he left everything. And you know, he had a life for decades without any devotional practices. But a devotee met him, and this boy was telling, oh, now he's a grown-up man, he was telling that the best time I had was when I was with the devotees. See, so even they haven't forgotten that incident, those exchanges, that is rasagraha. So the Lord is punishing and he's giving that taste so that he can return to devotional service with full vigor. So this is the mercy of the Lord. So I'll read this purport and it's very important. A devotee of the Lord automatically becomes uninterested in the enchantment of material existence because he is rasagraha, or one who has tasted the sweetness of the Lord, the sweet of the Lord. There are certainly many instances where devotees of the Lord have fallen down due to uncongenial association, just like fruity workers who are always prone to degradation. But even though he falls down, a devotee is never to be considered the same as a fallen karmi. Understand? Even if a devotee falls down, he is not the same as a materialist. A karmi suffers the results of his own fruitive endeavors, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself. The sufferings of an orphan and the sufferings of a beloved child of a king are not one and the same. The suffering of an orphan and that of a king's son is not the same. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him. But a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of his capable father. A devotee of the Lord, due to wrong association, sometimes imitate the fruity worker. The fruity workers want to lord it over the material world. Similarly, a non-neophyte devotee foolishly thinks of accumulating some material powers in exchange for devotional service. Such foolish devotees are sometimes put into difficulty by the Lord himself as a special favor. He may remove all material paraphernalia. By such action, the bewildered devotee is forsaken by all friends and relatives, and so he comes to his senses and again, by the mercy of the Lord, is set right to execute his devotion service. We can see here in the life of Bharat Maharaj, he has been taken off everything. Even the human form is taken off. And now, what can he do? He can do nothing but devotion service. He can't do anything. And he has forced to do devotion service because by the mercy of the Lord, he was given that memory. That is the mercy of the Lord. And now he knew what happened and he had to think about Krishna. He was forced to place himself in that such a situation. Just like Srila Prabhupada wanted to preach, we know that transcendental competition between Prabhupada and Krishna. Prabhupada was thinking, I'll become rich and I'll go to the West and preach Krishna consciousness. Krishna said, no, be poor and you go. So he accumulated wealth so much and he came to quite a top position in terms of his wealth in India, in terms of business. Then Krishna took away everything. So he became poor, as it is mentioned, tasyaham anugrahnami harishyeta dhanam shanehi. If I am merciful to such special devotees, I will take away everything. So in case of Prabhupada, it's not really a punishment. But he took away everything so that Krishna had a plan for Srila Prabhupada. He wanted to take away everything and then spread Krishna consciousness and give everything back to him. So it was a sweet arrangement between the Lord and his pure devotee Srila Prabhupada. So that is not an example of punishment. We can see such sweet exchanges. However, in case of Bharat Maharaj, it is certainly a punishment. But after that punishment, he became a pure devotee. So Jiva Goswami explains this point that the Lord wanted Bharat Maharaj to return to him as soon as possible. So he was thinking let him go through this short span of short lifespan of a deer. And so immediately after that, he can become a pure devotee. Well, deer, they don't live like human beings. So let him go through a short lifespan in that everything is taken care, the karma, whatever is all burned in the form of punishment, and let him come to the pure devotional platform straight away. So it was an arrangement of the Lord. So we can see that aspect as well. And for us, what we had to do, we had to perform devotional service very sincerely, seriously, and at the same time, we have to make sure that we engage our senses and mind in Krishna service. So we had to make a plan. Here the top platform is mentioned in this purport as given by Srila Rupa Goswami, which is a characteristic of Bhava Bhakti, which is Avyarthakaratvam. Avyarthakaratvam means those who are advanced in devotional service, they cannot really see wasting time. They cannot. You know, I have experience serving advanced devotees. They become upset if you waste their time, literally. Say, for example, if you tell, okay, we had to go somewhere, and if you're driving, and if you take a wrong turn, and going somewhere else, they tell, you know, don't waste my time. And they become upset. And they will judge, say, if we invite, you know, Maharaj, come for this program, or meet this devotee, give him some advice, they will see whether it is useful or not. If that person doesn't want to listen, and rather, a guru is going to give an instruction and is sure that such a person is not going to obey, so it's going to do a disservice to his disciple. So guru will tell, I don't want to see him now. Wait for some time. Literally, guru will tell, I have experiences, I don't want to see him or her. Because he's not going to listen, he's going to degrade himself or herself, so better I don't see. So how a guru is careful even in terms of meeting and giving advice. And in terms of time, so they don't want to waste their time. Sometimes invite for a program, that program, better I don't come. Like that, they're very careful, very specific about how they use their time. Not to waste their time. Very, very specific. So this is Avyarthakaratvam. We can see such examples in this world. Living examples we can see now. We know the life of Srila Prabhupada, Avyarthakaratvam, but here also we can see. That comes to the point, how we can do that? Of course, we have to be engaged in devotional service and we have to control our senses and mind because we have enemies of our mind. They are attacking us. So I will read a verse, how to control these enemies of our mind. It's very important because bad habits can really pull us down, isn't it? Bad habits. One bad habit, we foster it further and then we get into the loop and it becomes so difficult. So if you want to cultivate good habits, we had to control our mind and the senses. In other words, we had to fight against the enemies of our own mind. So I'll read this verse from the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Asankalpa tyajet kamam krodham kama vivarjanat arthanarthakshya lobham bhayam tatva marshanat. First, asankalpa tyajet kamam. How can we control lusty desires? Asankalpat, by determination and making plans, one can control the lusty desires. Very important. And Vishnu Chakra Thakur gives the example of a fasting day. A fasting day for Ekadashi or Nirjal Ekadashi or Janmashtami. Even though we may be hungry, but still we don't indulge in it. Right? Because we know that we shouldn't. Because we already have made up our mind. So Vishnu Chakra Thakur mentions that this is the way one can control the lust. Make a plan. Look, I don't want to fall down for such and such things. And if that comes to the mind, preach to the mind, look, this time I'm not going to do it. Wait, I will not do it. In that way, by determination, one can control the lust. So one already makes a plan. One knows that this is how mind is going to work. These are the plans mind is going to give us. And I am prepared, when it comes, I am prepared to say no. So this sankalpa has to be made on a regular basis and we have to be careful about it. It's not going to happen automatically. senses are not going to be automatically controlled. That's not going to happen. So this planning is in required, and that's why I mentioned asankalpa tajet kamam krodham kama vivarjanat. So krodham is mentioned. Krodham is mentioned that by not being envious of others, one can naturally conquer anger. Because many times anger is because of frustrated desires, and many times such desires sprout from envy about others. Because we see something in others, and why he, why not me? So we have that desire and this frustration that results in anger. Then about lobha or greed, it is mentioned that artha anartha ikshaya, artha anartha ikshaya, artha anartha ikshaya. By carefully seeing the problems with accumulating wealth or possessions, one can carefully see what, how this material energy is going to work on me. We think that material possessions, position, etc. have no impact on us. Or if we have, we will be exempt. That is just an illusion. So try to understand how it is going to impact our consciousness and mind. And with that knowledge, try to control that. And then it is mentioned, bhayam tattvava marshanat. Bhayam, the fear can be conquered by understanding the truth. What is that truth? Understand who we are, what's our connection to Krishna, Krishna's protection. By that, one can be free from fear. So it's, in this way, it's mentioned how can we control the enemies of the mind. So these are very important for us to move forward in Krishna consciousness progressively. So in conclusion, 27, verse number 27 speaks about the power of the mind, and by not controlling the mind and by developing that petty attachment, how Bharat Maharaj degraded to the body of a deer, but still there was a protection by the Lord because he could remember the past life. So his eagerness to attain Krishna increased, and finally it's mentioned that if we are negligent, Krishna can punish us, but that punishment is not the same as the karmic reactions of a karmi, rather it is out of love for the Lord. But we had to be very careful to control our mind and senses and be engaged in Krishna service by making a plan how to do it. With this I conclude and see if there are any questions or comments. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, past impressions impaired applying our mind to the process of sadhana bhakti. So, how does one overcome the force of the past impressions?
Yeah, I just want to answer the final bit, please.
How does one overcome the force of past impressions because they impair our application of sadhana bhakti, applying our mind to the limbs of sadhana bhakti?
Yes. So according to our karma, the modes of material nature works differently in different minds, in different times. Isn't it? So we can be in goodness, passion or ignorance. So for a devotee, the interesting thing is that because of our sadhana, whatever we have performed, and because of the knowledge that we have, we can see how our mind is working. That much we can see. Yes, we cannot avoid what mode is predominating our mind at a given point in time. But by the mercy of the Lord, we had to pray for that, of course. We can see clearly what's happening, what's going on in our mind. And according to that, we have to take our steps. According to that, we have to take our steps. For example, the mind is filling up with passion, the mode of passion, different kind of thoughts and desires. Then we have to strongly preach ourselves, look, I'm not going to indulge in mentally, because so many kind of bad thoughts can lurk in our mind, isn't it? So, look, this is the mode of passion. I don't really want to get into it. I will distract myself from those kind of thoughts and think about Krishna. And it is just a matter of few seconds or few minutes. If we distract, we can see the reciprocation of Krishna. So step one is understanding the state of our consciousness of the mind at a given time. And if it is not conducive, just move it towards Krishna and pray to Krishna, we can see the reciprocation of Krishna. We cannot avoid past impressions completely. It is going to come to our mind. But we had to be in that sportsman spirit. Even if there is a slight fall down internally, one shouldn't give up. One should fight it back. Okay, I had a fall down. So it's like, you know, the soccer, you know, if you hit, you know, two goals, okay, I will hit four. So in that way, we had to hit that back. We had to think, look, I am here to succeed for Krishna. Internally, I am here to succeed for Krishna. Not just in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, yes, that is there, but internally, I am going to succeed. So, yes, these kind of thoughts are coming, I am not going to give up, I am going to fight. So this fighting spirit is very good. We had to develop that fighting spirit. Not being, you know, ready to be subjugated. No, giving up. No, we had to develop that fighting spirit. It's very important. Even if they fall down, they will give it back. Like that. Is that right? Hare Krishna. Okay. Any final question? If not, thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.